thank you that you desire to feed your people in these last days. And Lord, we thank you that it is the church, it is the assembling of the saints that come together, Father, to be fed by your word, by your presence. Father, we thank you that you are working with us, within us, to become kingdom-minded and to put first the kingdom, to put Jesus first in all that we say and do and think. And Lord, today you have given us your word in which we should feast off your word. And I pray your mighty blessing upon it. I thank you for the unction, the anointing that gives life. But above all, Lord, that we mix faith with that which we hear, so that we will be not only hearers, but doers of the word. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus' name. Well, today I want to address something that probably affects all of us in one way or another. And I will give this as the Spirit gave it to me. And the title for this teaching today, Rejection Will Hinder Witnessing. Rejection will hinder witnessing. Now, the nature of the church, and I will bring this out in the teaching, but just in passing as we introduce this, the nature of the church is to witness, is to evangelize. And we know that the saints, they are to witness, they are to witness to Christ in their life, to witness to God's faithfulness, to the Word of God. And we know that the evangelism of the church lies in the evangelist that goes from the church under the unction of the anointing, under that office calling in which to redeem souls, to reap a remnant, to bring in the last days into the house of God. That is the nature of evangelism. That is why a true evangelist will always go representing the church that he is baptized into and going out and coming back and going out and coming back as the Spirit leads and guides. That is the nature and calling of evangelists and the office ministry. An evangelist is not a man who builds his own ministry and is a one-man band, which so often we see today. And that is why, sadly, so much in evangelism, the salvation, the souls that are brought in through those ministries, their consecration is shallow. They don't make disciples of Christ. If they did, they'd lose half their ministry and spiritual clientele. No, a true evangelist is one who goes where the Spirit leads him, and even if it's three people there, he is there because he obeys what the Spirit is saying, and then he returns when he has done what God wants him to do, and there he takes his place amongst the saints under the anointing, worshipping, praising, and listening to the Word of God. God is restoring that function and revelation of the church. Because the church is not an organization, it is an organism that breathes and functions and moves. The people function and minister. We just bring that out because we know that online we get new people come in. And some have never heard this before. But rejection will hinder witnessing, and I haven't forgotten the title. You see, the nature of the church is to witness. And we are to experience this, we need the presence and headship of Christ through the ministry of the Holy Spirit in order for this to be done. So the church to function and to witness to the gospel, the love of Christ, to a dying world, we need to come under the headship of Christ. We need to be fed and anointed by his presence that, if you like, to put it crudely, fuels all this. You and I cannot do a thing unless we have a fuel. We have energy. The same as your cars. We all came here today in a car or by a train or whatever, but that has to be fueled. It just doesn't run by itself. And so how much more us? We are utterly dependent upon the Holy Spirit, that unction, that anointing in which fuels, feeds what he wants us to do. And God knows that. What he wants us is to know that also. That is why I'm so often saying that out of your innermost beings flows those rivers of living water. Those rivers of living water are like our fueling. We need to be fueled. We need to be infilled. We need to be energized. We are incapable of doing God's will unless we are spiritually energized. And that's why we make so much of the baptism of the Spirit. Because the baptism of the Spirit takes us into the deeper life. Takes us beyond self and our limitations. But our limitation, self, still at times gets in the way. And very often, the reason it gets in the way is because of rejection. And rejection, if it is still getting its own way, if it's still hindering and oppressing, will always hinder our witness. And that's why the enemy tries to fetter us and hold us in that. See, he knows what he's doing. God wants us to see what the enemy is trying to do. And so, this fueling through the Holy Spirit, this is for teaching and fellowship of the saints. It is for born-again, spirit-filled Christians. That is what this meeting here is fundamentally today. This meeting, the church, when we come together, isn't really for unbelievers. Unbelievers are your ministry. Unbelievers are for you to go and minister to them so that they are converted, they come to Christ, and you can lead and bring them into the church where they can be nurtured and fed and then brought on into maturity. The church ultimately isn't to save people. Although we never limit what God does, and we know some people come in and some can be sitting for years going through the motions of church, and one day they suddenly get saved in their seat. We've seen that. But the general norm is that you go out and you make disciples. You are able to make disciples because God has empowered you to do so. The enemy just tries to rob us of that one. And one of the ways he tries to do this is through rejection. Because rejection will always look inward to self. But I'm going to go into this later. But to witness, you have to be custodians of God, the revelation of God in your life. And you have to experience him. You have to experience walking with Christ. So that in your witness, people are seeing something genuine from you. They're seeing something that has changed your life, that's influencing your life. It's getting their attention. Words do not always get people's attention. You've got a lot of speakers in Christendom today. Sadly, there's a lot of hot air, over this weekend and over the pulpit being propagated. But does it save souls? Unless God blesses it, anoints it. You see, we have to show the work of God, what he's done and is doing in our lives. This is why so often I'm saying that you move alongside. You develop this prayer life. As God is showing you, people and in your family, So you pray through. So you move alongside. And you begin to then see those opportunities beginning to open up. And then you find yourself being able to share the gospel. And God anointing those words as they come out of your mouth. Because the promise is that God will bring those things to your remembrance. And he's promised to do that. Let's turn firstly to some scriptures to just verify all of this. John chapter 1. The Gospel of John chapter 1. And I want us to look to verses 6 to 13. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 6 to 13. And here it speaks of John the Baptist's ministry. I'm speaking about witnessing. That is the key word. We are witnesses. Witnesses of what? That is what we're going to raise today. That's what we're hopefully going to answer that question. Did you know that John the Baptist was a witness? He too was a witness. And it says here, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. What a profound opening that is in that gospel. So we see John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ. What was he? He was to be a witness of the light that was to come. Yet God had put a light on him. God had put anointing on him. He was the greatest prophet, Jesus said. Yet he was a forerunner to show the way of what is to come. And that is the type of end time ministry in the church that God is preparing and raising. Types of forerunners again. Sons that are being raised to show that there is the one who is coming, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, coming to rule and reign on the earth. Repent, for the near coming of the Lord is near. Exactly the same type of ministry that John the Baptist had. So he was calling people to repent, baptizing them unto repentance. But he said, there's one who is coming, who is the light unto the world. And as many as receive him, he says he'll give the right to become the children, the sons of God. In other words, he will make them right. He will give them an empowerment and declare them as righteous before Almighty God. That is why you don't have to work at your salvation. That is why your good works do not save you. It is God's mercy and forgiveness that makes you right, declares you right in Christ Jesus. And God gave Jesus Christ, his Son, the power to do that. And said that anything you confess, any name you confess before me, because I receive you, I receive them in Christ Jesus. Who are born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And that's what gets you in trouble. Because man tries to earn that. It's called religion, bondage after the flesh. But this is after the Spirit. Hallelujah. And that is what you witness to. That is your changed life. Little wonder the devil doesn't like it. Let's carry on if you're not convinced. In John chapter 3, verse 22. John chapter 3 and verse 22 to 36. Here again it speaks of John the Baptist, where he exalts the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 22, we take it up of John chapter 3. After these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he remained with them and baptized. Now John also was baptizing in Enon, near Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John had not yet been thrown into prison. Then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing unless has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly, because the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthy and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and gives all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. What is he speaking about there? He's speaking about the flesh and the spirit. He's speaking about, unless you see the light of the world, unless this light of the world opens your eyes, you do not see. So some are of the earth, earthly, fleshly, and others are of heaven, of the spirit. And that is your witness. And your life has to be changed in accordance to that. And we're told also there that God gives the Spirit without measure in order for you to be a witness, to live your life in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Because you are of above, you are not of the earth. And it is not wrong for you to say, or when they come against you, I am not of this world, I am of another kingdom. I am simply passing through. How many Christians ever say a thing like that? Oh yes, some of them may look at you and say, oh, that person's a nutcase. Let them. But you have spoken the truth. You have spoken exactly what God has declared over your life. Now you're going to get the attention of some when they see you are not of this world, but you are of another kingdom. And you are walking out of this world into that kingdom. Because it's a kingdom message. And that is what we witness to. Why do I stress this? Because people don't want to know things about the world. Because the world hasn't done them any good. The same as it didn't do us any good. What did it give us? Nothing. Except bondage, blindness, and yes, a bit of joy for a season, and so on. No. We are of another kingdom. We're not of this world. Now when the church begins to experience this, and begins to witness this, and the saints begin to share this good news, and their witness, and their experience, you are beginning to see things change and happen. Every time. Because this is what happens. So you see, God has translated us out of darkness into his marvelous light. But what will hinder that? Rejection will always hinder that witness. And the enemy tries to work that one. I still haven't forgotten. I'm going to explain why God has given me this. But I firstly want to show you, teach you from the Word of God, why the enemy still tries to oppress us in rejection, which will stop us from being witnesses of the love and mercy of God. I've already said to you what John the Baptist was saying here. He saw it. He saw the one who was to come to liberate, to set the captives free. But he also said, as I read there, some will be of the earth, earthly, and others will be of heaven, spiritual. The earth, those who are of the earth, that is religion. That is bondage, confusion. That is where strife is. You'll never see true unity and fellowship in that environment. And it was the earth religion that, of course, we have to remember, finally put even our Lord and Saviour to the cross. Scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees, they're all spiritually still around. Doesn't change. Those demons, as I say, they don't change. So we're talking about witnessing. Not only that, but we also, we're told, aren't we, in Hebrews 12 and verse 1, that we have a cloud of witnesses. Why are they called a cloud of witnesses? They are a witness to God's love, mercy, preservation, bringing us through. They witness the love and power of God. Many of them who were martyred for the faith went to the gallows knowing that God was going to raise them up. They are a witness now, witnessing to us in return that we too witness. You see, the whole of the gospel is about a witness. It's witnessing to Christ. It's witnessing to his resurrection. It's witnessing to the love and grace and mercy and forgiveness of God. The disciples were a witness of Christ's death and resurrection. They saw him. They touched him. They saw him when he was raised from the dead. Thomas put his hand in the side into the wound. It's all about witness. And the Holy Spirit has come baptizing us as witnesses to the love of God, to the Word of God. It's all about a witness. And all that witness is built upon stone, precept upon precept, over the centuries. It's building that wall, the church. It's built on witness. It's built upon saints who are baptized, living saints, witnessing to the love and grace and mercy of God. That is what the church is built upon. And that is what you witness to a dying world. And the enemy tries to stop us in the area of rejection of doing that. Because we don't say this, but that rejection that will still oppress. Well, I know what happened to me last time when I started witnessing. The whole lot turned their back on me. Didn't want to have anything to do with me. Oh, poor me, I'm not going to do that anymore. That's what the enemy will get you to think and believe. That you are hurt. Yes. And I'm going to look at this later. So we have that cloud of witnesses. What did the Apostle Paul say in Romans chapter 1 and verse 9? Romans chapter 1 and verse 9. For God is my witness, he says, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. So what did the Apostle Paul confidently say as he opens up with this great epistle? God is my witness. So he says, God is my witness. So he says, because God is my witness and he is your witness, therefore God is going to vindicate that. Even though they come against you, Even though they lie, they say all that they do. God, because you are his witness, therefore God will be a witness to you and vindicate you. The Apostle Paul said it confidently. And boy, he went through enough. He was rejected all the time. And he says, God is my witness, whom I serve, I love this, with my spirit, in the gospel of his Son. He's speaking there about his whole entire being, his heart, his mind, his soul, his whole being, which is a sacrifice to Christ. He says, I serve my Lord in my entirety, my spirit, in other words. That's what he means here. That without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. He doesn't give up in his prayers, his intercessions. Don't give up, saints, in your prayers and in your intercessions. Keep it there. Keep knocking. Keep pressing in. Because I'm going to show you that we are witnessing prayer is essential with it as well. That's why Jesus said, my house is a house of prayer. What does it say in 3 John 3? In 3 John 3. 3 John 3. For I rejoice greatly when brethren come and testify that the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. So, he's testifying here. He says, I rejoice greatly, brethren, because come and testify of the truth that is in you. And so, this idea of testament, testify, is connected also with witnessing. So, we witness, we testify of what? Of the love and grace and mercy of God. So he says, I rejoice greatly, brethren. They come and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. And that is the key to this, as we walk in the truth. What keeps us in the truth? The Word of God. As we receive the Word of God, so it delivers us to walk in that truth. Because if there isn't truth, then you've got nothing to witness and testify about. It's false. It's a false witness. That is why, sadly, Jehovah Witnesses are false witnesses. They are enemies of the gospel. You know, with Jehovah Witnesses, the tragedy with them is they're so near, yet so far. Out of many cults, they actually are the nearest. Yet they're the furthest. And yet, who knows? God may have mercy on them. We don't know. We serve a merciful God. But here Paul, he witnessed. Paul also says he witnessed to the first martyr of the church. Stephen, as they stoned him, he stood by and he watched the first martyr go into heaven. He said he used that in his ministry. I witnessed that. I was there aiding, encouraging it along. He witnessed and saw the first martyr of the church. See, you can't take away experiences when you've witnessed. You can't remove it. And that is what God is putting in you and I. He's putting such a reality of Christ in you, which is the hope of glory, that it can't be removed. You can do nothing but speak of it and witness to it. He's hammering home, if you like, the reality of your walk. And where do these realities come? Your trials. Right in the depths of those trials, that is where the reality, the witnessing of all of this is birthed. You can't just get up and start the witness. We've all tried to do it. True witness comes out of labour pains. true witness comes when everyone has forsaken you and turned their back on you. These are the experiences that we go through. Some have experienced revivals, healings. You know, the church history is full of revivals over the centuries, and you've got books written, and you can pick out these books as they're writing about it. You can just sense that experience that they've had. They're a witness to it. But the church is to witness. And that's why the Holy Spirit has come, baptizing us, empowering us for our ministry. The church, which I've always taught, is to minister. Matthew 24, verse 14. Matthew 24 and verse 14. And what does it say here? Well, this is Jesus speaking about the last days, the destruction of the temple, and so on. Here he speaks in Matthew 24, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. Then the end will come. The end is approaching. But the church has got to come back to its true witness. And until then, the Lord is not going to return. And God has opened my eyes to this. Because I believe still, and we're not here yet, but this witness, this word witness, is not yet fully understood amongst a lot of Christendom. It's still a lot of hot air. It's still about man building his kingdom, his ministry, his empire, begging for this and so forth, making merchandise of the gospel. Tell me, can you witness that to the world? No, they laugh at it. And the devil's got them. But as we begin to see the saints who are being set free from all this bondage, corruption, things of the flesh, the earth, as you begin to see the true witnessing again coming, Jesus said, we're near. And I believe again we're on a threshold of a breakthrough. However, Satan very often gets wind, gets light of things, what God's about to do, before even Christians see it. And that is why God is working this deliverance in us. Now, Jesus witnessed to the same. In his earthly ministry, in his flesh, he did exactly the same. It was no different for him. As we see in John 3, verses 4 to 12. In John chapter 3, verses 4 to 12. This is the story of Nicodemus. You know it very well. It's under the context of the new birth, having to be born again to enter into heaven. John 3, verse 14 to 12. 4 to 12, I should say. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly I say to you, we speak what we know and testify, what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how you will believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who comes down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus is witnessing there. What is he witnessing to Nicodemus? He's saying you cannot be born of flesh and flesh and blood. You have to be born again of the Spirit above. And I am that witness to that. I am the light of the world. He's turning Nicodemus to him, to his words. And God will empower you with what you say that will turn man to your words, pointing to that of the Spirit, where you must be born again, to Jesus. Unless God empowers those words, you have no witness. It has to be anointed. It falls on deaf ears otherwise. Jesus was doing exactly the same thing. He was being empowered by the Holy Spirit to say that. You see. And he said, I'm a witness to that. Because I am not from beneath. I am from above. Your witness to the world is, I am not from beneath. I am from above. That is my witness. That is what the world needs to see. That's they're not going to be changed. They won't be touched. That's why the devil tries to keep the earth, the church so worldly and earthbound. Now, one of the biggest things the enemy is using today amongst us is rejection. And it hinders our witness. And the reason being is because self is more important than my witness. And that's what defeats us, weakens us. That's the problem. Now, friends, we have to settle to the fact you will be rejected. You preach this, you share this, and you make enemies. You will be rejected. But I'll tell you something, you are never rejected of God. On the contrary. Now what did Jesus say about this? When they reject you. Did he say, oh, go away and get all upset and sulk and feel sorry for yourself? No. He showed the greatest remedy to rejection where the enemy tries to hold us. He said, leave peaceably, but shake the dust from the soles of your feet and move on. And that's what you've got to say to rejection. I do not receive you, and I'm going to move on. And moving on is growing up. Because we can all fester in the past. We can all wallow in it. And where does it leave us? Stressed, high blood pressure, loss of peace, you name it, depression, all of the world's held by. God's saying, shake the dust from your feet, move on. And that's what we do. Jesus had to do it. The early church had to do it. The apostle Paul had to do it. And we have to do it. It's no different for us. Yes, you can be grieved. Yes, it has cost you. Maybe you spend a lot of time helping, encouraging, and all they've done is turn their back on you. But move on. Leave them with God. Father, have mercy. But I cannot be hindered by that. For I am on a journey. I am on a mission. And you have a job for me. And I have to move on to the new pastures. what you have for me. And the reason we don't move on, the reason we're not fruitful in this area, because we have been hurt and rejection is festering. Now, I found myself saying, well, Lord, it's one thing to expose and talk about rejection, but it is another thing to get rid of it. But God actually showed me that is the way we actually get rid of it. If you want to get that deliverance, just move on. Shake the dust from your feet. Leave them with God. Yes, I was hurt. Yes, they have rejected me. But by moving on, it's not actually you that they have rejected. It is the Lord Jesus Christ that you wanted to present to them. But they didn't want it. So your moving on is actually dealing with rejection. And it is suppressing, pushing it down where it belongs. So that you are master over it, and it is not master of you. You see, the nature of rejection will always take it personally. And this is the big problem that still oppresses in the house of God. And I find it's an area that's not really fully addressed as it should be. And none of us want to be rejected. I'm not saying that any of us do. But the fact is, it is going to happen. Jesus warned this. He hasn't fooled us in any way, beguiled us. He has shown us that we will be rejected. And you'll even be rejected by your family. Sometimes even by your closest, your husband, your wife, or whatever it will be. It happens. But the Lord said, move on. And at the end of the day, that moving on, that removing the dust from your feet, what in actual fact is having to say is, okay, if you want to remain in that state, then so be it. But I'm not. I can't stay with you. I can't be with you. I don't identify with your state. Therefore, I'm moving on. Because that's the whole nature of this walk, is to move on. Because what that situation wants to do is try to hold you down, hold you in their rejection and their bondage and their frustration and depression and everything. Wants to try and bring you down to that level. And boy, how it tries to make you feel guilty. Well, you call yourself a Christian, and look what you've done. You've turned your back on us. That's not Christianity. No, you've done exactly what Jesus said. Move on. And tell them if they feel like that. No, I've not turned my back on you. But I have to move on. Because I must do my Father's business. And there are others who want to hear about the good message of the kingdom of God. If you don't, then I have to leave you. But I have to move on and share with others. You're not wrong to say that. I think you've silenced them, actually. No, that is what we're called for. And what empowers this, as I bring this to a close, is a prayer life. That is why our prayer life is essential. And the more you begin to witness and you're empowered for this, you start to go, you see saints, you're going to find that, Lord, I've got enough hours in the day and I want to pray this through. I want to pray that soul through, that saint through, and so on. This is how we're going to see the church grow. This is how we're going to see full gospel assembly grow. I know how the devil's trying to stop this church from growing. Because he's still trying to hold us in rejection. And which we feel sorry for ourselves. We're sorry for ourselves because we hold to the word of God. We're enriched beyond words with the revelation of God's word in this end time. And we feel sorry for ourselves because we say, who wants to hear it? Well, in the natural, nobody does. Very few want to. But are we going to let that affect us? Are we going to let that oppress us and hold us down and feel sorry for ourselves? No, let's move on. That's what I say. Because God has shown us there is a remnant out there.
Amen.
And they will respond and are responding. And God is going to lead and guide us to them.
Yes.
And we are going to see new blood being added to this church. Because it is a sign of healthiness. It's a sign we're moving on. We're not looking to numbers. You know where I'm coming from. But at the same time, new blood is essential. Because as we start to witness, we're near to the coming of the Lord, as Jesus has shown us in Matthew 24. Let this testimony be a witness. Let it go out to the four corners of the earth. A witness of what? The kingdom of God. Not you. Not your problems. Not this church even. To the kingdom of God. The Lord Jesus Christ. That is why I said at the beginning, you are not wrong to say, I am from above. You are from beneath. We're not of this world. We're from above. We are not born of flesh and blood. We are born of the Spirit. And it is that that we witness to. Because that world that's dying out there doesn't want to hear things of the world. They don't. They want to hear the good news that comes from above, from heaven. Because Jesus said, they'll hear that and they'll respond to that. That's why when the gospel is preached, some hear it and some don't. We know that wonderful analogy of two walking along a railway line and suddenly the voice speaks out from heaven. There's a train coming. One hears it and the other doesn't. That's the mystery of God. You heard it. How did you hear? I don't know. I just knew. When I heard, I knew this is right. This is the way I'm to walk. Because God did it initially. And that is how we're to witness. Some will hear, some will not. Those that don't hear, do not take it personally. That is God's responsibility. You have done what God has asked you to do. Is to be a witness. He has not asked us to get emotionally involved as to why they have rejected or whatever. Yes, you can cry. Yes, you can feel the emotion. But at the end of the day, you are not being called to get emotionally involved in that. Because that's what will work the rejection. By my getting emotionally involved in these things, where God doesn't want me to, that is going to land up always in the end, I am going to get rejected. That's how it works. That's how the devil holds it, you see. And he holds us in guilt. Well, I should be doing something. There's no greater thing that you and I can do than that is to present the truth. Whether they see it as a truth or not. Because by presenting the truth is presenting love. And love can do no greater thing than present the truth. Because many who presented the truth became martyrs for the gospel. That truth cost their life. Because they couldn't speak anything else. Because they are witnesses to the truth. Let that take hold of our lives. Let that drop from the heads to our hearts. Let us just get that self out the way. The rejections that where the enemy tries to work. And let us be faithful witnesses to the truth. Whatever the consequences, doesn't matter in light of eternity. God will provide. He will be my witness. He will go before and prepare the way. And those flames will not engulf me and burn me up. Because God is with us. So, I think the Lord has spoken very loud and clear today to us. Rejection will hinder witnessing. Let us not hold to it at all any longer. But let us move forward now by the Spirit. As we pray this word through in our hearts, what we've heard today. The Lord will begin to work that, because he has the blessing. He has to empower it for the end of the day. But we have to ask. We have to make ourselves available. And many times we're always asking the wrong things. So he's showing us today what to ask for, what to wait on for. Pray it through, and you are going to begin to see in your ministry breakthroughs. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen. This is why the devil's trying to stop all this. He doesn't want us to be witnesses. Though we are witnesses to what? The things of the Spirit, not of the flesh. Father, again today, we thank you for our assembling. We thank you for bringing us into your divine presence. Oh Lord, we just know our lives change when you are there and present. But Lord, we've heard something so important today. And I know the enemy just didn't want this to come out. He didn't want this to be broadcast. But Lord, you have been one step ahead. And we give you all the praise for this. But Father, we desire this church to be a witness. Please help us. Empower us. Deliver us. Help us to get self-rejection out of the way. Lord, if they rejected you, they will reject us. But Lord, help us not to take it personally, but to move on, to wipe the dust from our feet. Because that's what you've shown us to do, because I believe that's the key. That's what deals with rejection. And Lord, when we're witnessing and seeking the kingdom, we haven't got time then to fester and to mull over these things, because we're moving on to the next thing, what you have for us. Sometimes rejection and all this works when we've got just too much time. We're idle. So Father, I pray you'll please help each one of us. Please empower us, Father, for this. Lord, if we're to get together or to get into prayer and fasting and to seek you for a season over this, then please do it, Lord. Whatever it takes. Lord, we want to move on. We want to see you glorified. We want to see more souls added to this church. Father, we want fellowship. We want the fellowship of other saints, souls that are out there ready to be brought in. We want to have fellowship with them also and to share the love of God. Lord, please, don't let us become stale, stagnant in this church. Inward looking, but outward looking, ready to be used. Father, we thank you for this today. Thank you for speaking to us. Lord, I take great encouragement for this, that you're about to move. You're about to move, Father, and the enemy knows it. But greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. And so, Lord, be with us, bless us, preserve us, keep us, till we assemble again, because we ask this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Hallelujah.